Well, if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We'll look at the first 13 verses.
Whatever is born of God overcomes the world.
this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the Word, and the Blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you, so you can believe in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that you may know him, and know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
The title of this message is Gifts, or God's Gifts to Those Born of God. Some of us would write it, God's Gifts to Those Born Again. The two mean the same thing, born of God, born again. I read this story, and I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to tell you how it affected my heart. A preacher shared this story about being born again, or being born of God. The parents of a college student asked me a question, this is a preacher speaking, asked me a question after their son had attended a weekend Bible conference. Could you tell us what it means to be born again? Our son keeps using that phrase, and we don't understand what born again means. Preacher thought, wow, what an opportunity to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I read that little story, not very long at all. Here's my heart. So I put the story down, I put the Bible down, and I just prayed, and I searched God out for several days about this. I wonder how many people don't understand what it is to be born of God, or to be born again, or to have a regenerated heart. Think about that for just a second. Think about the billions of people in this world today, right now, that have never been born again, that have not been born of God, that have not heard the gospel presented to them in such a way that they could understand. And I'm going to say, just off of my head, that there's about 5 billion or more people that are not born of God. So I want you to think about all the people, even around us, that are not born of God. And then think about people that say they're Christians that don't understand what it is to be born of God. They can say they're Christians, but if they're born of God, they'll know that they're Christians. But so many families are like this couple in this story. They send their son off to learn the Bible, so they believe that kind of stuff, and when he comes home talking about being born again, they don't understand. How many people attend church every Sunday thinking they're saved and they're not? That's what pierced my heart. It hurts to think that there's millions of people that go to church every Sunday. I'm proud to be a Baptist because we preach the Word, and you hear the Word like it's written, and you know that you're born of God. If you've been saved, you just know it. Then I wonder how many Christians, as I thought about that, I wonder how many Christians live their lives without realizing how many gifts God gives us, how many blessings God gives us. So we're going to look at 4 or 5 gifts that God gives us as we get saved, as we become born of God. Think in your mind, in your heart, how many gifts God has gifted you with. And it's overwhelming to think. Make a list and realize God did this, God did that for me. And as I'm born of God, born again, regenerated, get that new spirit, God has given me all these things, given all these things to you. So let's start out at verse 1. The very first gift that God gives to a Christian is to be born of God. Verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Bible says, is born of God. How do I say this? What a privilege it is to be born of God. Amen. To be a child of God. Amen. To know without a doubt that God drew me to Him, even though I didn't know years ago where 1 John was in the Bible. That's how God is. He overlooks our stuff because He created us to love us. And His desire is that everybody would be born of God. Born again, spiritually regenerated. John uses this phrase, born of God, twice, in verse 1 and verse 4. We'll talk about verse 4 in just a second, but again, I had to put my stuff down, I had to put the Bible down, I had to pray this through. What does it mean to be born of God? How many Christians cannot explain that to their own children? My first church I pastored, we had five deacons. I promise you, out of those five deacons, they did not understand how to explain what it is to be born again. I would meet with our deacons as I would meet with a first grader. And we would go over things so simple. I had a 55-year-old deacon. He was chairman of the Sunday school at the time and had been chairman of the deacons, and he came to me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he was said, I've never understood what it means without charity, you do not have love. What charity means love. Without love, you have nothing. He had 55 years not understanding 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter, because we don't use the word charity now, we use the word love. 55 years old, a chairman, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school director, go-to guy, who did not understand what it was because he didn't understand the word. How many Christians are in that boat together? So here's what I did. I wrote down what, just a small portion of what it means to be born again. And I looked at me first. This is what God did for me. To be born of God means that God somehow revealed Himself to me. It did not happen by accident. Over the years, I was in fourth grade when I got saved. My dad did not share Jesus with me. My mom did not share Jesus with me. We weren't going to church regularly. A man picked me up and took me to RA's on Wednesday nights, Jack Floyd, and he introduced me to the gospel. God is the one that began to reveal Himself to me. He just used Jack Floyd as a tool. So I'm very grateful to be born of God, that God starts introducing Himself, revealing Himself to us. He begins to call us to Himself. I had an agenda all over the place in fourth grade. I went fishing every afternoon. I lived in Miami. We went fishing. We went to the beach. You can imagine what a fourth grade boy did. And all the hobbies I had, and God did not fit in those hobbies. So God started revealing Himself to me and then drawing me to Himself. Now this is a gift that God is beginning to give me. Somehow or another, God reveals to me, this is where Jack comes into play. Jack taught me that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I had never heard that before. I did not know I was a sinner. I did not know that I was born a sinner. But God put something in my heart to reveal Himself to me, to draw myself to Him, and then to tell me that I'm a sinner. And I didn't get mad about it, because God revealed to me that I needed to do something about that. He's beginning to give me this great gift of eternal life. My heart begins to feel a need to be forgiven. And that's not a human characteristic. That's just something that happened. God caused it to happen. And then as I feel the need to be forgiven, He introduces this thought of repenting, of turning away from that sin. Now, to a fourth grader that doesn't realize he's sinning and God puts that in my heart, something's taken place. And my mouth was filthy. My thoughts were filthy in a fourth grade. I could cuss as good as anybody in this world. I was introduced to some cuss words that I just absolutely loved. I used them every other word. And I realized that God revealed Himself, I need to do something about that stuff. I was not right with God. I repented of those sins. And then God revealed to me about the cross. Jack Floyd told me about the cross, but God revealed to me what that cross meant, that Jesus died for me. He was buried, and then somehow or another He arose 3 days later. This is what it means, the process of being born again. And then God revealed to me that I needed to ask Him into my life. And I did. And at that moment, He gave me a new heart. When you get saved, He gives you a new heart, a brand new heart, not a redo, a brand new heart. And Paul says He makes you into a new creation. So this fourth grade boy asked Jesus into his heart, not knowing all this stuff, but God revealing this stuff to me. And I asked Him in my heart, and God gives me a new heart, and Paul tells me I'm a new creation in Christ now, and I fulfill verse 1 of chapter 5. I am born of God now. And as I'm born of God, my lifestyle at that moment changes. I have that new heart, that new life, that new lifestyle. And even though I'm still in the old lifestyle, God is convicting my heart of it, and I'm doing something about it now. This is how we know that we're born of God. We realize the sin of our life. And yes, we are sinners. We still sin, don't we? Check your head, yes. But we get convicted of it. And even though we sin over and over and over the same thing, we hate it. We want to change. We ask forgiveness. Over a period of time, we turn away from it. We get away from it. Because we're born again. What a gift. You're born again. You're born of God. Amen. Think about that for a second. You are born of God the Father. You belong to Him. And as you're born of God, He's going to start teaching you. Because you're now His son or daughter. You've changed. So the first gift that God gives you is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't know about you. That makes me feel so very good. So I laid this down, and in my prayer, I said, "Yee-haw." Now God understands my prayer life. I say that to Him. And I'm not embarrassed about it because He understands when I say yee-haw, that means yee-haw. That means God knew what that means. Yee-haw! You know, it's not just something yee-haw. Another gift is in verse 4. So let's read it again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is our victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The last two words of verse 4, our faith. Now, verse 1, He gave us a beginning faith to accept Him and to believe in Him, His Son, and to get saved. But verse 4 transitions into a building faith, an overcoming faith. So whatever we face, we understand that God is with us now. And He provides a way to get through this. Stuff that we go through now, we're growing, whether we like it or not, we're growing in our faith. We're depending on God. This stuff will not be over until God says it's over, so He's going to walk us through the this COVID. He's going to walk us through the financial strain. He's going to walk us through the health issues. He's going to walk us through the family issues. And sometimes He will pick you up and hold you and just about drag you through them. And sometimes all He has to do is grab you by the hand and just hold your hand through them. And sometimes He just walks with you. You're able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with us always. He's getting us through these things. So in verse 1, you have a beginning faith to be born of God, eternal life. But in verse 4, you become a believer born of God that has this faith that is going to build the rest of your life here on earth. God becomes our victory.
Our church used to be a voting place.
Republicans and Democrats vote in the same place. You know, I don't ever talk about politics. But the voting booths were up in by the office, and I saw the people. And I saw the way they acted. And I saw a lady that one of you went to church with her. I'm not going to tell you who it is, I'm not going to call names, but one of you went to church with her. And she had, you know, we preach, we're pro-life. We believe in life. We believe in Jesus gives life. And if you take that life, that's murder. So we're against abortion. And she's from a preacher that stood strong on anti-abortion. He was her preacher for 18 years. I know that she heard that. And I know she was he depended on this lady. And she started working and campaigning for one of the men running for president back in 2008 that was okay with abortion. You figured the rest out. One of her Christian friends found this out, and it was almost like a civil war happened. They hated each other after that. If you're born of God, you love brothers and sisters in Christ. Let them vote the way they want to vote. You still love them. Let them have their own opinions. May not go jive with your opinion. You still love them. You may not like their lifestyle. You still love them. Do you hear what I'm saying? To be born of God. This is Jesus speaking through John. If you're born of God, you're going to love the children of God. Period. So we got November coming up, by the way. So remember this sermon, if somebody votes different than you do. Love the children of God. We love each other. I read John Stott, and he wrote this. Love for God is not an emotional experience so much as a moral commitment. So when we're born of God, we make a moral commitment to God. He lets His word work through us. Whether it's shown to God or to the people of God, God's love is always active. They know us. They know that we're born of God because we love like God. We can show this through different ways, sacrificial serving people, taking care of needs, and just showing up to church. But the point is, if we're born of God, we love each other. Determines if we're being born of God. let me kind of wind this down. You absolutely know today that you're saved, that you're born of God, that you're going to heaven when you pass this life to the next. I believe that God has a purpose for this COVID-19. I believe God is using it to make us determine whether we trust God or not with that faith that builds. I believe that God is watching our response to how we handle things. If we face things that we don't like, who are we to act like? Jesus Christ. Can you absolutely tell the Lord today that you look at other people and love them like God loves them? Are you born again? Do you know Jesus? Salvation is not gained by you being a good person. It's not gained by being the smartest person in the room today. It's not gained by being the richest person and giving more than anybody else. It's gained by that thing back there. The cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. So John gives us the solution to salvation. It's in verses 11 through 13. I'll close with this. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, the Bible says. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty plain, isn't it? If you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life with Jesus. You do have eternal life, but it's in hell if you don't have Jesus in your heart. Verse 13, these things I have written to you that you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, without a doubt, that you have eternal life. So again, I ask you, do you know today, without a doubt, that if you were to die right now, you'd be going to heaven?
Amen.
I don't say, I hope so. If you say, I hope I'm going to heaven, then we're going to have an invitation in just a second. I'm going to be standing right there. You come on down, because we need to talk about something. You need to know without a doubt, and if you don't know that, then come on down anyways, and we'll make sure that you get into heaven. If you have salvation in your heart, eternal life, then you also have love for your brothers and sisters. You have overcoming faith. So, as I write this down, do you have overcoming faith? Does your faith overcome the temptations in your life? Does your faith overcome the fears in your life? Does your faith overcome the worries in your life? Does your faith overcome the safety of your life? You know, I could make a list a mile long about this. Are you worried about the future? God has given us, if you're born of God, now hear me, verse 1, if you're born of God, and then verse 4, if you're born of God, then you have overcoming faith. You've been given faith to overcome all these things. Health issues, God's there with you. He has given you overcoming faith. Now, we may die here, but you have eternal life with Jesus, which is perfect. No more tears, no more sorrows, no more death. Are you worried about the future or anything about the future? God has given you that overcoming faith. Born of God, this faith, this may be because of what's going on with COVID. God wants us to have complete trust in Him. So do you have trust in God today? I want to close with this story here. Now, there was once a brilliant young man, this was not written about me, by the way. This was once a brilliant young man, a non-Christian, who visited his family doctor, a Christian, and the day before his graduation from high school. Being a longtime friend of the family, the doctor asked him, "What do you plan to do now that you're graduating?" The young man enthusiastically replied, "I hope to study medicine and become a doctor just like you." "What will you do then?" his doctor friend asked. "I will marry and have a family," the young man responded. "What then?" the Christian doctor asked. plan to have a good practice, earn good money, and travel, save, and prepare for an early retirement. And the doctor asked, what then? I hope to travel with my wife and see the world. What then? The doctor said. The young man thought for a minute, I guess I'll grow old and die. What then? The boy didn't have an answer. He didn't know. If you were to die today, you know what the end is. John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17 will tell you all about the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14 will tell you about a mansion prepared in heaven for you as a believer. I have that mansion prepared for me, waiting for me, and you too if you're born of God. But if you're not born of God, then you don't have that mansion prepared for you. It's really easy to take care of. Turn away and repent of those sins and come to Jesus. Lord, I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. That's it. So we're going to have an invitation. I don't know what's in your heart. If you had a son or a daughter and they asked you what it was to be born of God, could you answer that question? I hope that you could. If somebody will ask you today, are you born again? Are you going to heaven when you die? I hope that you can say, I know I am, because that's what 1 John is written for, so that you'll know without saved and be part of God's family. The invitation is this: if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to be right here by the table. I invite you to come forward and let me share with you how to invite Jesus into your heart. Can you absolutely say that we look at each other and love each other like Jesus loves us? If you don't, you need to repent. You need to get right with God, which is part of being born again. None of this is said to make anybody feel bad. It's just, we need to know that we're born of God. So let's pray. Father Almighty, this is your invitation. I pray, Lord, that we can take these words and apply to our lives, Lord, that you pierce our hearts with them. Let us realize what a gift it is to be born of God with faith and eternal life, a new heart and a new life, to be Christ-like, to know that you're the one that revealed all this to us, and you're the one that gave it to us. And we're just children of God. We belong to you. So, Lord, dear, this invitation.